You talked about the data related to pembrolizumab. What about other agents combined with chemotherapy, specifically atezolizumab?
Right. So the EMPOWER 150 regimen was FDA approved. That's a study of carboplatin, paclitaxel, bevacizumab with or without atezolizumab. So the old school ECOG regimen. The interesting elements of that study were inclusion of the patient population with EGFR and ALK mutations. Now, those patients in the NCCN guidelines have been extrapolated upon in the second line and are receiving combinations of chemotherapy and pembro. But this study specifically addressed the question of what to do with those patients after their tyrosine kinase inhibitors. And I think the surprise to all of us was the subset of patients with EGFR and ALK mutations had a tremendously improved benefit with the addition of atezolizumab. I believe the hazard ratio was something like 0.4. So the benefit was really dramatic. And that was both a surprise and something we were eagerly awaiting. So is this a real answer? It's a small subset. What the overall survival you cannot consider because they have next line targeted therapy options. But in terms of progression-free survival, the benefit looked to be real. And the question to me is, what does the Bev add? And should we be studying bevacizumab in addition to carboplatin, paclitaxel, and pembrolizumab? I'm sure it's being done. But for now, when we want to use Bev, because we think there might be an advantage to bevacizumab, it comes at the cost of alopecia with the taxane. And that is a major issue for a lot of our patients.
So are you using that combination?
If I had the appropriate patient, I would, but I've not prescribed it.
What would be the appropriate patient?
I think someone with an EGFR or ALK rearrangement or perhaps one of our other oncogenes who is not averse to alopecia.
And what line therapy would you use it in?
After the TKIs had been exhausted.
What is your typical approach right now? You know, patient, for example, gets first-line osimertinib on progression.
Yeah, it's a hard question. So, of course, clinical trials when available. Ruling out small cell transformation is, I think, of increasing importance. I will admit I poo-pooed that a bit with erlotinib, and we really biopsied for the T790M. But the reported incidence of small cell transformation after osimertinib is higher. So ruling out small cell transformation is an important reason to biopsy. And I also look for PD-L1 in that acquired resistance biopsy if we get it, just to guide the discussion. For, I'd say, post-TKI progression, the discussion is about chemotherapy or chemotherapy with immunotherapy. There's a big emphasis on looking for risks for immunotherapy toxicity because I'm still to be convinced that the immunotherapies are providing a lot of advantage in that patient population.
Interesting.